Before we begin, I see a lot of activity on the Facebook Live feed. Are we okay? They're not talking to me. Are we good? Oh, it's on video. Okay, sorry. All right, we have had to go to video. So, yeah, Cheryl, when you asked me earlier, we apparently are having some internet issues up here. I'm not sure. Since they started doing the CEMC construction around here, we've not been quite right on our internet feed coming in here. So we have gone to video there for the service this morning. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. I need a professional TV crew. I mean, listen, if I'm ever going to make it on the Trinity Broadcast Network, I'm not. Well, first of all, Jerry's going to have to get a lot larger hair and some mascara that runs if we're going to make it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if we're going to make it. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then good for you. You don't need to be watching TBN. Every now and then there's some good folks that buy time there. But anyway, Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, the supremacy of Christ in prayer. The emphasis of this passage of Scripture is also going to talk about our speech, our communication. And that includes our communication with God. That also includes our communication with unbelievers or the world outside of the church. Our speech is to be sanctified. Recall that Paul has been saying that you need to put on the new life. You need to put on Christ. You are to do that in the home. We just covered that through speaking about the husband, the wife, the child, the bondservant. And now he is moving to our communication in presenting the gospel to an outside world, but also our need to communicate with God, to be a people of prayer. It is Art Kent Hughes who says, at the very heart of our communication must be full devotion to prayer. In the Shorter Catechism, it says, prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God in the name of Christ, by the help of His Spirit, with confession of sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. Why is it that it appears to be that prayerlessness has entered the church instead of a church being a praying church or being a house of prayer? Then you know that we talk a lot about the sovereignty of God, that God is in control. So why should we pray if God is sovereign? Well, I hope that I can answer that through a couple of quotes. J.I. Packer states, God foreordains the means as well as the end, and our prayer is foreordained as the means whereby He brings His sovereign will to pass. What am I saying here? Well, prayer is the means by which God accomplishes His end goal, accomplishes His will. It is R.L. Dabney who says, God does not command it because He needs to be informed of our wants. You do know that the Bible says that God knows what we need even before we ask. We're not surprising Him with our requests. But Dabney says, or be made willing to help. He commands it because He has seen fit to ordain it as the appointed means for reception of His blessing. Now, how many of us think about prayer as a means by which we receive His blessing? So I want to talk about communication, praying to God, but also how we are to pray about our interactions with the world as we share the gospel. So if you would, stand with me, and we're going to read verses 2 through 4. The Apostle Paul in the book of Colossians says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. May God bless the reading of His word. You may be seated. His perfect and holy word. Well, verse 2, we see that Paul is saying that you need to devote yourself to earnest prayer. Earnest is not found in this text, but I believe it is implicitly there as we talk about continuing steadfastly and devoting, which I'll discuss in just a moment. But to be earnest means you're sincere. intense conviction. It is constant. It is continuous. Oh, how we ought to be like the early church in Acts chapter 2, where it says that they were continually devoting themselves to prayer in Acts 2:42. To devote or continue, be steadfast, means that it is prioritized, it is regular, it is loved. The gospel account of Luke tells us that Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer. Hebrews 7:25 says that he continues to make intercession for us. Do you realize that God still is making intercession, or Jesus is, to the Father on your behalf? So we have this word steadfast, which can mean devote in some of your translations. It means to be immovable, firm, unwavering. We looked at this concept of steadfast in Colossians 1:23. When Paul says, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under earth, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Continue steadfast, immovable, unwavering from the gospel, being stable. Well, if we're going to be these things in the faith and have our hope in the gospel unwavering, it must include prayer. Otherwise, we are going to be easily deceived by the world. We are going to replace the pursuit of sanctification and the pursuit of Jesus with the pursuit of sin. So prayer is given to us for our own good. Yes, it is to accomplish God's will, but it is for our own sanctification process. Prayer molds us into the image of Christ. But when I think about this word steadfast, I can't help but go back to my childhood. And I've shared this with you on many occasions, I am sure. You know that preachers, we're limited in our illustrations, so usually we are repetitive. But I don't know if you recall, my father raised feeder pigs. All right? I love bacon. I hate raising pigs. My daddy would always say, as you had that scent upon your hands, that's the smell of money. I don't know so much about that, Father, if you're listening to this a little bit later on. But my dad was one of those men that, you know how we're so concerned about our children today and their safety. Like we even have to put a helmet on a kid riding a bicycle. Well, let me tell you what my dad would do. All right, we're going to load this boar hog. And I want you to stand up there. And as soon as that thing comes up the chute into the back of the truck, I want you to shut the gate on the stock frame. We didn't have a trailer, a stock frame on a truck. I was 10 years old. That boar hog had tusks on it, just coming out like this. So my dad finally gets that boar hog up that chute. My job is to make sure that boar hog does not come back out of that truck down that chute. It went in to the truck. It decided it did not like what it saw. My job was to fill that gap, shut the door. What do you think happened with a 10-year-old? As soon as it turned around, I moved. It went back down the chute. It's headed toward my father. My father rides that boar hog down that chute, yelling at me every breath. My father was one of those that would be like, if we were moving cattle, hey, you stand right here. You fill this gap. Don't be afraid. If it comes at you, it ain't going to hurt you. It'll turn. So I'd stand there. He'd come running toward me. I'd just get out of the way. I wasn't going to let something run over me. I know my dad's going to. He's even stuck my 79-year-old mother still to this day out there with a stick when he moves certain things, whether it be goats or cattle. But I can't help but think of that when I think of being steadfast, firmly planted. Oh, how hard it is when life is coming at us so fast. Doesn't it seem like life is just hurling at us in 2020? Am I the only one that feels that way? So much change, so much chaos, so much difficulty. I couldn't help but laugh when I saw David Elliott post the meme on Facebook. I don't know if you've seen it. It's Leonardo DiCaprio, and it says pastors in January 2020, and Leonardo's looking, you know, clean cut, smiling, skipping, whatever he's doing. Then it shows Leonardo DiCaprio in November of 2020 and says, pastors, be like this in November 2020, and it's him from the movie The Revenant, if you've not seen it. He's got the long beard. He's been mauled by a bear. Do you feel this way? I feel mauled by a bear in November 2020. So much is coming at us, so much fear, so much anxiety, so much unsettledness. And when that happens, we often turn to sin to try to find comfort. That's our old nature. We turn to the idols to try to find security, solace. But these do not help. Only God can give us comfort and security. Only He can give us solace when we are hurting. Only He is immovable and steadfast and like a rock. He is the rock. He's the only one who can give us what we need. Well, I want you to know that prayer is standing firm. It is being immovable. It is being steadfast in our relationship with Him. Let me ask you something. In the midst of a pandemic, have you prayed? Do you know what the children and I prayed this week frequently? Lord, please put an end to the pandemic. Now, you do realize, and you'll say, well, modern medicine's going to do that. Science is going to do that. Do you know that all truth is God's truth? So if we do have a successful vaccine, that's God-given. All right? Just remember that. We give a little too much credit to science and not enough credit to God. If an end is put through the vaccine, then that is God-given. So be steadfast, continuous, persistent in your prayer. And then you need to be alert in your prayers. Do you know what it means to be alert? Some of you don't this morning. It means to stay awake. All right? Now, some of that may be my own fault, but you need to stay awake. Now, if you're a small child, sleep away. Sleep away. There's none of, I can remember as a child laying out on a pew. Of course, now, you think I go long-winded. I was an independent Baptist. We'd have 2-3 hour services. So on a Sunday night, usually I was passed out on a pew somewhere by the time it was over. But some of you need to learn how to be alert, stay awake. It means to be watchful. Paul says in Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. It is Jesus who told the disciples when he is in the Garden of Gethsemane before he is to go to the cross that you need to watch and pray with me. Their spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. What did they do? They slumbered. I think the church is in a slumber today. We're not alert in our prayers. We are not watchful. I learned a lot about being alert here over the last couple of weeks through deer hunting. And no, the preacher doesn't have a deer. And the next person that shows me a picture, Carl Edwards, of somebody else that got a deer, there may be an assault. All right? Now, I don't know if that was probably against the law, just threatening an assault. And I'm on Facebook. Uh-oh. All right. I may go to Facebook jail and literal jail. But we would arise this week at 3:15 in the morning. We went in the morning and the afternoon. Well, one morning, Owen wanted to go with us. Well, he was debating it. And I said, well, we'll stop at Papa Rock. Do you know what Papa Rock is, the gas station? I said, we'll get us a chicken biscuit or something like that. And he was all in. All in. Hey, I was like, are you sure we got to get up at 3:15? No, he's all in on the chicken biscuit. He cared anything, you know, about the deer. A monster drink and a chicken biscuit. Uh-oh, I just turned them in, Nana. Don't yell at them. But so we go, and I can, we're really, I don't know if you're, Ben, you're a deer hunter, others are deer hunters, but sometimes when you deer stand, you get a little bored, you don't see anything, so you're looking at your phone, or you're looking at a device, and some people have told me that's the reason we don't get a deer, is because we're looking at our phone. I can remember it. We got to the deer stand, and we were in a blind, and the stars are still out. It's too cold to look at your device because your hands have got gloves on them, and so me and Owen just snoozed till daybreak. I mean, we just leaned back in the chair, and we were snoozing. But as I was out in hunting, I got to thinking about being alert, because you are alert to every sound. A squirrel can sound like an elephant coming through the woods. Do you agree with that, Jerry John? You say, ho, 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 I hear something. No, it's a squirrel. I mean, the squirrel sounds like an elephant. Are we as alert and watchful when it comes to our daily lives, to our prayer life? Just as we distract ourselves with our devices while deer hunting, instead of being alert and watchful, we do the same when it comes to living for God and praying. We engage in escapism, entertainment, hobbies, recreation. Because you do have difficulties, not just the major ones of COVID or what's going on in our society. You got your daily struggles, your daily burdens. Are you going to the Lord in prayer? Are you being alert of what's going on in your life, in your family's life? Let me just give you a few instances here of how we ought to be alert. When you pray, you need to be specific about your personal and family needs, spiritual and physical. Do you pray for people by name in your family? Do you pray for people to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior? In your family, you have children, grandchildren, relatives who do not know Jesus. Be specific. Be specific about sin. We usually generalize sin, don't we? Oh, Lord, forgive me for my weaknesses and shortcomings. That's how we pray. We're acknowledging that we have weaknesses and shortcomings. Sin is falling short of the glory of God, yes. But have you ever asked God to reveal specific sins to you? I mean, we just talked today in our Sunday school class about conceit and pride and inferiority complexes and feeling superior to others. Do you ask God to reveal where you may have pride so that you can hate sin in your life and you can begin to put it to death? John Bunyan says prayer will make a man cease from sin, or sin will entice a man to cease from prayer. Be specific about physical and spiritual needs of others. I always want to know people's names so that I can pray for them by name. That's why we have a prayer list, so that you can know the names of those that are in need. Do you know that the church prayed by Peter for name when he was in prison? And thus he was released from prison. They prayed for him specifically. The angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel, Thomas Watson says. Be specific about church needs. Listen, if you don't have anybody else to pray for, look at me. Pray for me. I need your prayers. Jerry may need them more. As I said in the Sunday school class, she's always talking me off the ledge. Pray for more people to serve the Lord in our church. I just mentioned committees. We need people serving the Lord. Pray for laborers for the harvest. Pray for world events. Be specific about what's going on in our country. Pray for an end to COVID. Pray for our governmental leaders. Whatever political party you're affiliated with here this morning, our responsibility as Christians is to pray for those who are in leadership over us. Pray for them. We may disagree. We may disagree with our leadership. Pray for them. Pray that there is truly peace in the Middle East that seems to be transpiring. Pray for elections and our country. On Wednesday nights, we oftentimes pray for a revival in our country, a return to the Lord. Do you pray for such things? Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Paul says, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of what's going on, regardless of the difficulties, regardless of the trials that you're going through, regardless of the sufferings that you're experiencing, it may be physical sufferings, emotional, regardless of all that, you are to be thankful. You are to be filled with thanksgiving. Now, how many of us are really going through life just being thankful? Thanksgiving's upcoming. We celebrate it as a national holiday, but we need to be thankful to the Lord. Do you know everything that you have, every good and perfect gift, the Bible tells us, comes from the Lord? Oh, may He return the joy of our salvation. Rejoice in Him. He has redeemed you. He has saved you from your sin. He is giving you heaven. He's leading you to the promised land. Rejoice. And again I say, rejoice. Why are we walking around so unthankful? We're like the 10 who were healed of leprosy in the Bible. Only one returned to thank Jesus for that healing. Go and read Luke 17:11-19. We're praying to a living God. We're praying to someone who is at work in your life. He's at work in human history. He has not abandoned us. He has not left us nor forsaken us. He is with us. He is with us now. I don't understand those who say that God doesn't speak to them. Ronnie Presley and I just had this conversation. And you may go ahead and put me in a straitjacket and lock me up, but God speaks to me. No, it's not an audible voice from heaven that's the voice of Charlton Heston as Moses. No, it's not that. But I can hear Him clearly say to me, "No, Stephen, this is not the way." Some of you have watched The Mandalorian. It's a big phrase on the Disney Channel. This is the way. I have the Lord speak to me. This is the way. This is not the way. Stephen, you're not doing what you need to be doing here. You're thinking about this in a wrong manner. Do you not ever have God call you by name? Then do you know Him? Let me give you some more encouragement in thanksgiving and prayer. Do you know that prayers don't die? You think that you just throw them out there on a whim and that's it. Do you know that in Revelation it says this? And when He had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. The prayers of the saints. Prayers don't die. Jesus says, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Do we not have because we don't ask, or we are asking for the wrong reasons? We're not asking according to the will of God and for His glory. Do we persist in prayer, or do we just throw a flare up and then let that be it? Do you ask God? You do know that He answers prayer. Paul says, "Dwell on the things in heaven, not the things here on earth." Be thankful for God. Be thankful for Jesus. Verses 3-4, I've got to move on. Devote yourself to evangelistic prayer. Notice what he says there. "At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison." Prayer includes a broader scope. We need to be praying for the kingdom of God. Did you know that the Lord's Prayer says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? We need to pray for the advancement of the gospel. We need to pray that people will hear the gospel and come to faith in Jesus Christ. We need to pray for God to open doors of ministry. And you may be saying to yourself, "Well, we have all of these ministries here at the church that we've had to cancel. Have we ever thought..." I'm sorry, I got a little emotional earlier. Now my nose is running just a little bit and I forgot my handkerchief at home. It's a sad state of affairs up here at the pulpit. So then Jerry's going to say, "You kept sniffing during the sermon." And I'll be like, "Well, it was better than snot." But anyway, Paul was constantly asking believers to open doors. We have all of these ministries here at the church. Have you ever stopped and thought, maybe God is closing doors on some ministries and opening doors for other new ministries in order to reach people for Christ? You know that, like, when you start something in a church, it apparently is eternal, and we will continue doing it in heaven. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm always careful on starting new things, because if you do it once, it becomes a tradition. Then if you don't do it, people leave the church. I'm just telling you. So once you put something in place, you can't ever go away from that. Jesus is going to do it in heaven. We have a lot of great ministries, but have we ever prayed for God to open doors of ministry for us? He opens doors and He closes doors. The Bible teaches us this. Believers, as John MacArthur says, are to pray for open doors because it is God who opens them. Go and read 1 Corinthians chapter 3 where Paul is talking about those who labor, those who plant the seed, those who water, but the growth comes from the Lord. The Lord is the builder of His church. No one comes to the Father except those who are drawn by Him to Jesus. It says in John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. But let me talk about these open and closed doors. Do you realize that when Paul and Barnabas returned to Antioch in Syria after a missionary journey, this is what is said. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how He had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. Did you catch that phrase? Open door. Paul's second missionary journey, he is ready to go into Asia. And in Acts 16, what happens? They were prevented from doing so by the Holy Spirit, and Paul received a vision that he was to go into Macedonia. The Macedonian call is what we refer to it as. Do you know what kind of impact that has had upon even Western civilization today? The reason that we have the gospel, the reason for Western civilization as we have known it, is because Paul didn't go to Asia and went to Macedonia. It has impacted the world. Why? Because of the receptiveness to the gospel. We do not have to blaze our own trail. We have just got to get on board with God where He is working so that we can draw people through the gospel to the cross of Christ. We can point the way to them so that they might become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We just need to work with God. And many times I think we're working against Him because we want to do things our own way. Have you ever thought that jail might be a means by which God can use you as an open door for the gospel? Now, come on. Have you ever thought that way? Now, Paul is in prison. He's in chains. But I want you to listen to this one pastor who was arrested in 1985 in Bulgaria, and he was put into prison. His only crime was preaching the gospel in his church. He was sentenced to 8 months in prison. During that time, he did all he could to speak forth concerning Christ. And here's what he said about his own people who labored with him in prayer. He said this: both prisoners and jailers asked me many questions, and it turned out that we had a more fruitful ministry there than we could have expected in church. God was better served by our presence in prison than if we had been free. Now, that is not an American mentality, is it? It's not. It's the mentality of believers around the world, but not in America. Are you willing to go to jail for Christ? Have you ever thought that the oppression of Christianity that is developing more in our country, God may be opening a door for an abundant ministry? Did you know the church is strong in China and house churches? When Russia fell, they found a very strong church in Russia. Many of us would not see jail as an open door. Ask yourself, if it comes down to it, deny Christ or go to jail, would we say, send me to jail? I'm not going to deny Jesus. I'm going to see this as an open door. I don't think we have that mentality. He goes on, and at the end here he says, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Paul is asking the church, and now this is where it comes to communication with the world. He's asking the church not only to pray, the Colossian church, for an open door, but that he might have clarity in proclaiming the gospel, that he ought to speak as he should. Ought to speak, that phrase, John MacArthur says, ought can be understood in two ways. First, it refers to the compulsion that Paul felt to preach the gospel. Second, ought to speak refers to the mandate for using the God-ordained method of presenting the gospel. So what is that God-ordained method? Well, he's clearly given us the gospel that we are to speak it with words. Oftentimes, we say, well, I'll just let my lifestyle say what needs to be said. Well, it does need to be used. But listen, if that's all you're relying on and you're not speaking the word of the gospel, then you're being deficient in the presentation of the gospel. You have to speak to people and tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. How else are they going to come to faith? Go and read Romans chapter 10. But also, this is something that I think is lacking in the church today, and I think is even lacking in my life at times as a preacher, and is lacking in pulpits throughout this land. I can have the best of sermons on paper, and I can read that sermon, and I can think to myself, golly, I'm brilliant. No, I don't really say that. I may think it, but I don't say it out loud. And, man, this just looks good. This is going to preach. That sermon will not be effective and change anyone's life if the Holy Spirit is not present in the delivery of that sermon. First Thessalonians 1:5. Because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. So he spoke the gospel. He said the gospel came to you, but not only in word, it also came in power and in the Holy Spirit. When we pray for clarity, we need to pray for the Holy Spirit to remove the mystery of Christ. That is what he says here, to declare the mystery of Christ. Well, what is the mystery of Christ? Well, in the Old Testament, it was something that was hidden, but in the present context, in the New Testament, it refers to the content of the gospel. It is Jesus. He has been fully revealed. So he is asking for the church to be praying that people won't be blinded, that the mystery will be no longer a mystery, that Jesus will be seen clearly. This only occurs by the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? You will not come to salvation in Jesus Christ apart from the Holy Spirit opening your eyes to the truth of who Jesus is, of who you are, and leading you to repentance and faith. Oh, how we need the Holy Spirit. How we need the Holy Spirit to be witnesses for Jesus. We're always so concerned about the presentation we give, and we think that somehow our words are going to prevent someone from coming to know Jesus Christ, so we're afraid to share the gospel because we're afraid that we'll get it wrong. You don't need any further training in sharing the gospel. You just need to go tell people about Jesus. And you need to pray before you go, while you're there, and after you leave. Because it is God's work, not yours. Yes, we are to persuade. We are to persuade to the best of our ability. But it is God who saves. But listen, we need the world to see that this is not foolishness, but the wisdom of God. The only way that's going to happen is for God to be at work. 1 Corinthians 1:21, for since in wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Do you realize that the world has scales upon its eyes? They can't see Jesus. Oh, how we need to be praying. So, Jesus is glorified and honored when we devote ourselves to earnest and evangelistic prayer. Start praying that your life will be a clear testimony of Jesus. Pray for God to send workers out into the harvest. Pray for clarity of the gospel. Be alert in your prayers. Be watchful. Be steadfast. Continue. Persistent. As Martin Luther says, pray as if everything depends on God, then work as everything depends on you. Do you get that? But prayer, listen to me carefully, it is speech, but it is even more than speech. There is something about our posture, our attitude toward God. R. Kent Hughes says this, but in another sense, prayer is not so much the speaking of words as the posture of the heart. The Quaker Thomas Kelly said in his Testament of Devotion, there is a way of ordering our mental life on more than one level at once. On one level, we can be thinking, discussing, seeing, calculating, meeting all the demands of external affairs. But deep within, behind the scenes, at a profounder level, we may also be in prayer and adoration, song and worship, and a gentle receptiveness to divine breathings. What is your posture toward God? Pray, pray, pray. Let me say it again. Pray, pray, pray. Your prayers do not die. They accomplish God, the will of God. God uses our prayers to bring about His kingdom. Pray. Church, pray. Meet together, pray. You don't know what to do? Pray. You don't know how to get through tomorrow? Pray. And be thankful, for God hears your prayers. He hears your prayers. And let me just tell you one other thing. Sometimes, and this is not Garth Brooks speaking here, sometimes unanswered prayers are the best thing God can do for you, is not to answer them the way that you want them answered. So don't grow discouraged. God hears you. He loves you. And He has not forsaken us. Be watchful. Be alert. Be steadfast. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we talk about speech, prayer, the gospel, telling others about You, Lord, we want clarity. We want the power of the Holy Spirit. We want the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, teach us to pray. Help us to see the value of prayer. May we rejoice in prayer. May we rejoice in You. I think the key, Lord, is we're not going to pray if we don't rejoice in You. May no one leave here today that doesn't delight in You, that is not thankful for Your mercies that are new every morning, that are thankful for Your grace that meets every need. Thankful for salvation. Return the joy of our salvation, O Lord. My prayer is today that You will draw people to You. Draw unbelievers to saving faith. Draw believers to a deeper relationship, a deeper sanctification in their walk with You. Oh Lord, do Your work. Your word does not return void. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand and sing a hymn of response. I'm asking you to pray. I'm asking you to pray and to respond to God's word. If you need to speak with me, I'll be off here to my left.